escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. The first text that we have right now is a phenomenal question. Let's get to it. CDOT, what happens to Jack mentally if the Royals demote him back to AAA? Clearly, he needs more time to develop. I actually don't know if that's the case. This is the thing, I would say. And in the NFL, we kind of just accept this. Let's take a team like Cleveland, for example. Cleveland has two experienced quarterbacks, Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and two young quarterbacks. Now, I know it's hard for you guys to imagine being in this position because you have the greatest quarterback the world has ever seen. But if we were in Cleveland, a lot of you would be arguing to start the young guys because there really isn't much value in starting a Joe Flacco or a Kenny Pickett. So you might as well just see what you have. I'm a big believer that the greats are usually going to figure it out. Now, I know that Kobe has spread this Mamba mentality, but you guys remember Kobe's first time in the postseason? He airballed on three straight possessions against the Utah Jazz. That doesn't sound like the Mamba mentality to me. But you know what Kobe was always going to do? He was going to figure it out. Peyton Manning threw 20-plus interceptions his rookie year. You know what Peyton Manning was always going to do? He was going to figure it out. If Jack Caglione is the prospect that you believe he can be, that I believe he can be, that every baseball person has told us that he is, you know what I trust he'll eventually do? I think he'll figure it out. That I know we all maybe placed a lot of expectation and hype and burden on this young man. And the minor league returns were great. I mean, he had 322 in AA. Then fast forward, he had 319 in AAA. I mean, I think we all kind of knew that he got fast-tracked in a lot of ways. Every person that covers baseball was telling us how another 100 ABs, how another 150 ABs, how him just going down there. All of us signed up for this. Every person signed up for this. I was here for Jack Caglione Day. I didn't hear a whole lot of people saying, oh, he's not ready. He should stay down in the minors. The sentiment was getting those extra 75 ABs wasn't going to change anything, so you might as well bring him here. So now it's the big leagues. We're going to see if you can sink or swim. Someone on the text line says Mondesi was supposed to figure it out. Well, injuries were a major part of it, and maybe we were just wrong on Mondesi. There's a chance that we're wrong on Jack Caglione. We get it wrong about prospects all the time in sports. Jack Caglione, if he's not the guy we're supposed to be, he will not be the first. He certainly won't be the last. But I am now on the side of just let him play. Let him play. Continue to give him all the ABs. Continue to coach him up. Continue to help him with his weaknesses. And let's see what happens. This is a game that is defined by failure. If you're really good at baseball, you fail 70% of the time. Think about that. If you're really, really good at it, that's how often you fail. So it has to be something that is ingrained into you that, hey, I'm going to get myself out of this. I'm going to get myself out of it. So I'm not here to overreact. I'm not here to underreact about what happened. I'm here to just let's see what happens. Let's see how you handle this. I'm going to guess that for the first time in a long time, baseball's not easy for him. Everywhere you've gone, you've been exceptional. You obviously were really good in high school. You went to Florida. You then went to Florida. You were good enough to be a top five pick in the draft. You then went to the minor leagues. You dominated the minor leagues. This is the first time that baseball's really hard. Baseball's hard and your team is losing. It can't be that fun. You remember when he got up here, oh man, everybody was happy to see you. You're signing baseball cards. They're wearing your t-shirts. It ain't fun right now. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. He's hitting 165 right now. He can't get a walk to save his life. He's not driving in runs. He strikes out just about every game. I mean, the numbers suggest he strikes out pretty frequently. Let's see what happens. I'm curious to see if this kid can swim. I'm curious to see what this looks like in 150 ABs, what it looks like in 200 ABs, what it looks like next season when you had an entire year of failures and highs and lows to see how you come back and perform. Once you make this decision, there's no going back after a rough three-week stretch. He hasn't been up here a month. There ain't no going back. No, it's you're here. So let's see how the rest of the season goes. At this point, the Royals really don't have much to lose. I'm not telling you that it's impossible for the Royals to get back into it, but if you're looking at this thing realistically, they're under 500 at home. They're under 500 on the road. They just finished up one of the worst months at home in franchise history, and they've been doing this for a long time. Not just playing baseball, they've been losing for a long time. They're completely eliminated from the division, and they're 4.5 games back of the wild card, which doesn't sound bad if you're chasing one team. No, they're in seventh place in the wild card conversation. Seventh. So at this point, I really don't know what you have to lose with Jack Caglione. Keep letting him get ABs. Keep letting him see more big league pitching. Keep letting him work through his mistakes. That's what the greats, they figure it out. It's usually a struggle with guys. I do wonder, just because I would say that Kansas City has been very, very fortunate, I would say, in the last decade or so, that the two guys that were supposed to be like this, their rookie year was exceptional. You don't start an NFL career the way that Patrick Mahomes did. You usually start an NFL career how Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson did. Good, promising, but a little rough around the edges. It wasn't like that for Patrick Mahomes. His rookie year might have been the best quarterback season we've seen in the last 15 years. Bobby Witt Jr.'s first year in the big leagues was a really, really good year. Like, certainly for a guy who didn't play college baseball and wasn't in the minors for a long period of time. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. as a 22-year-old rookie hit 250 and hit 20 home runs and 80 RBIs. Like, that's a really strong rookie year. He finished top five in rookie of the year voting. Jack Caglione's season, at least, is not starting that way. But this is part of being in the big leagues, to experience the ups and downs and see how you handle the adversity and how you bounce back. So I'm not telling you not to be worried about Jack Caglione. I'm also not trying to throw any water on anybody's fire and the excitement and how this month started with Jack Caglione Day and the hope that he could turn out to be. I mean, we were hearing Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani and Pete Alonso. I still think he can be all of those things. It's just going to take some time, and it's going to be a process. And I think the big message is baseball is hard. It's really, really hard. And I know he's a professional, and it's hard. And if you need any more evidence, it is somebody who dominated Double-A, dominated Triple-A, and at times appears to be lost at this level. This is the biggest jump up in intensity and competition that you can imagine. And I think he's a little bit underwater right now. But as I said, the greats always figure it out. They always figure it out. So I have no question that if Jack Caglione is the player that everybody told me he was for the first 3 months of the season, I think he'll eventually figure it out. Okay, my bad. I thought you had something to say, Rob. I apologize. All right, earlier today on the show, we were joined by the mayor of Kansas City. Mayor Quentin Lucas joined us on the show. I want to play the best of that conversation for you on your drive home in case you missed it. I can't explain it. The mayor had a different fire today. He was a little more fired up than normal. We started our conversation with what was your reaction to the letter that Mark Donovan wrote?
You know, here's the thing. I think, and I talked to some people as soon as it came out, it is a letter that doesn't really have any real impact, change any laws, any things, and certainly isn't a deal. I'm probably most frustrated that it keeps us a status quo for even longer. I think you, your listeners, everybody on whatever side of the state line is most interested in us being on, moving on from this conversation. We have been at this for quite some time. I think the teams understand the opportunities they have. I think people are tired of the chest puffing, the puffery, all of the back and forth, all of the conversation about who's redirecting more taxpayer dollars than the others, and just wants to get to a final answer. And so what Kansas City, Missouri was ready for was by today, June 30th, to have that final answer. We have done, I think, a wonderful job of getting information in front of the teams, particularly for Kansas City, in front of the Royals. Jackson County tends to handle most of the Chiefs' conversation in connection with what we can do. And I think that's where we go from there. But, you know, per what you just heard in the interview, Kansas City and the state of Missouri have the same tax redirection opportunity, right? It's the same sales tax abatements. Fundamentally, at the end of the day, the deals aren't actually that different. And the deals aren't that different here versus in California versus lots of other places. I think the decision needs to come down to where do the teams think that they can plant their flag for the greatest success for their team in the future. It is my personal view that the Royals have been running around talking about downtown for the last 3 to 4 years. Downtown is one place. It's one place that has access to public transportation, hotels. It's on the cover of magazines all around the country. It is a place where you can get to $3 million attendees every year. And I think the Chiefs have been talking about the history and the legacy of Arrowhead Stadium. I'm not going to get into a long debate either with you, a caller, Ty Masterson, or anyone about, yeah, who can redirect more taxpayer dollars. After a while, even I start to think that becomes fiscally irresponsible. We should be talking about building schools, bridges, healthcare, et cetera, not necessarily just giving away all the taxpayer dollars to teams. I think we've come up with a fair and responsible offer in Kansas City, and I think that's the sort of thing that will eventually win the day.
Why do you think there has been such a delay, at least with the Royals? And I understand that your negotiations have been more with the Royals than they have been with the Chiefs. And we'll talk about the Chiefs, the football portion of this. But, I mean, you call this an unprecedented offer that the city of Kansas City has offered the Royals. Why do you think they've been hesitant to just accept the offer and move forward with the state of Missouri?
You know, I'll say this. My friends at the Kansas City Royals have an important generational decision to make. And depending on what the Chiefs do, the Royals' decision may be the one that, frankly, puts more private investment on the line, right? They have real decisions to make. They have made clear that they're leaving Kauffman Stadium. They have made clear that in leaving Kauffman Stadium, they're looking for a whole new facility, which would have a substantial private investment in a true public-private partnership. I respect that. I respect the challenge that that entails. I respect the fact that they need to make sure they're looking through the financials, the real estate transactions, and others. And so I understand the why for the time. But I do think at a certain point, we have shown what is unique, what is creative for our jurisdiction. And as a guy who was standing at the Kansas City International Airport today, and I was on the city council when we were debating it, and I've been mayor as we built it and opened it on time and on budget, under budget, as a matter of fact. And what I've been able to see from all of those, CPKC Stadium, the Riverfront Stadium for soccer, add that too. Kansas City, Missouri does big projects. We do big, giant projects basically every year. Stadiums are in our wheelhouse. This isn't a new speculative transaction. This isn't looking for the sale of bonds beyond the sale of bonds ever in the past by a certain state in our jurisdiction. This is something that is doable, that is basic, that has the interest of city administration, and frankly has strong political support over here. And frankly, to a person, when you walk the streets of this region, and I was at the Overland Park Farmers Market this weekend, as it turns out, When you talk to people throughout the region, almost all of them say, yeah, downtown would be cool. If they're going to leave Kauffman Stadium, a downtown ballpark is something that would work for our region, something that is interesting and something that's unique. That's why we're making sure we get them all the information they can need to make that right decision.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, talking to him about the letter from Mark Donovan that was released last week. This was my view on the letter. To me, it felt like a matter of perspective. Rob is a born and bred Kansan. He went to high school in Kansas, went to college in Kansas, works in Kansas, lives in Kansas. I think it was the most optimistic sort of piece that we've had of, hey, the Chiefs are seriously considering a new stadium, and that's where they are leaning. I think if you're on the Missouri side, the letter just didn't really say anything. All it says is we've been having conversations, and no part in that letter did the Chiefs give any level of commitment. Is that kind of how you read the letter, like a matter of interpretation? Anybody can interpret that letter for what they wanted to interpret.
I think that's probably true. I mean, and I'll say first off, I consider Mark Donovan a friend. I hope he does the same for me, but he's a businessman. And I think what you saw was a business letter that went out that said we are very seriously evaluating our offers and our opportunities, and we'd like more time to consider. Full stop. That's really what it says. You know, I don't think that it says that they're, you know, cutting off all Missouri locations. Indeed, it literally did not say that. It did not say that, you know, we are signing something next week. What it said was, we want to make sure that as we look at this transformative project, and it would be a big old project too, but that they are going to make sure that they, you know, look through all the necessary steps, that they make sure they're talking to all the right people as they make that decision. I think that's the entirety of it. And what I would say is this, had this letter been sent on, you know, to someone in Kansas City, Missouri, then I would have seen it the same way. This has been a long process. I have been, sometimes on the upside one week, maybe not on the upside another. We've had people reach out to us and say, hey, yeah, we'd like to learn more. We've had people that have said, you know what, we think it's going this way. You realize that you're in an ongoing negotiation. That's what happens. And I would not be reading the tea leaves for what comes next out of these sorts of things that at their core are basically saying we are going to continue to talk.
I do have this question. I'm curious, kind of get your perspective on it. I've been calling this kind of a heart versus head thing, just looking at it and trying to be objective. I mean, one side is offering a brand new state-of-the-art stadium like SoFi and Allegiant, a brand new practice facility, hotels and shops around it, while one side is just simply offering a fresh coat of paint to an old stadium that we all feel a closeness to. I guess in that conversation, how do you guys compete with, you guys are not offering a new stadium to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas is offering that. And even you have to admit, that is a very attractive offer that Kansas is planning on building them, maybe the nicest football stadium in America.
You know, I think a few things that I respond to with that. First of all, something that hasn't been discussed yet, but the Chiefs can build a new stadium in Missouri, too. That is actually an opportunity and a possibility. People aren't talking about either tearing down Arrowhead or looking to find space elsewhere in the metro, but that remains a very clear opportunity, and it's one that the Chiefs could employ and evaluate in the same way that the Royals are evaluating a brand new stadium. And with the way that these deals are working out, when you add both local government commitment in Kansas City or on the Missouri side, which can get to, I think, $400 to $500 million, plus what the state of Missouri is contributing, you actually get very close to a Kansas offer, if not a little better, because your sources of funds are vastly more guaranteed than, not to be too nerdy, a dream of $1.7 billion with no government backing that nobody knows how the heck it would be sold or purchased on the market in some sort of way. So that's maybe one narrow part. I think another part, though, of what I say is this. I've been to a lot of games. Some people bash me for going to too many games and being too much of a fan. My favorite venues to watch games, honestly, for football, have been Lambeau Field, when the Chiefs played at the Packers. We lost, but it was a hell of an experience. And frankly, going to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore to see the Chiefs typically win. Two exceptional outdoor facilities. And the Baltimore Ravens very recently had this same set of decisions, and what they elected to do was to renovate this place because it has a wonderful fan environment, because they have had exceptional home field advantage, and it is a special place to be and to watch football. Getting into the cycle of building a new stadium or dome every 20 years or 25 years, I don't think is the win. Carrington, you grew up in Kansas City, and so did I, and people from St. Louis were puffing their chests in the mid-1990s because they had a brand new, incredible dome, the Edward Jones Dome, the former TWA Dome, home of the Rams. It has no football team now, and if you walked into it now, you'd be kind of saying, huh, wow, that wasn't nearly as interesting as even at that point, the 25-year-older Arrowhead Stadium. So I am not one who says that a brand new dome and throwing up some shopping and retail next to it that does not stand the test of time is the best option. You have the opportunity, if you stick with Arrowhead, you can do lots of things in terms of redevelopment in the area, particularly because it's going to be based around activities at the stadium itself. Lambeau Field is your best example. You can always build new in Missouri if you really wanted to. But I will be biased as a Chiefs fan, and this probably is a little bit of heart, but I think it's head too, because you save yourself a few $1 billion in the transaction of saying, if you've got the best home field advantage, if you've got a stadium that people are making Hallmark movies off of, if you've got the FIFA World Cup actually at your stadium, so this global body for soccer says your stadium is actually exceptional, meets all of our standards, is one of the best places in America to watch soccer, you're saying you're just going to tear it down for the fad of the day? Kansas City's been smart because we weren't hopping on the fads of the day. Our stadiums never have, and that's why I still think the Chiefs are going to stick with Arrowhead Stadium long term.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, here for a couple more minutes, just getting his thoughts on the letter from Mark Donovan. I don't know if you're a betting man or such. I am from time to time. Which team do you think jumps first? Because I'm not guessing that these two teams are making a joint announcement. One team makes an announcement before the other when they are not tied together the way that they have been basically since the creation of the Truman Sports Complex. Which team do you think jumps first?
You know, I think the reality of how things go is that the Royals have, I think, a more aggressive timetable for, and this is just Quentin talking. This isn't what anybody's talked to me about or anything like that. If the Royals, the Chiefs can stay at the Truman Sports Complex for a while because they've already kind of shown that, all right, yeah, this is something that we can take the time to figure out and what have you. I think the Royals want a downtown stadium. I think that's something that's, or pardon me, a different stadium. I think that's something that has been important to ownership. That's something that they've shared broadly with the public. And the lease runs out in 2031, and you need time to do construction. And so I continue to believe that I think baseball is the decision that's made first. I think that there is a lot of merit to that if they're looking for a new facility. Right now, all of our jurisdictions, at least the ones that are building here in Kansas City, Missouri, and over in Johnson County, Kansas, we have a lot of other projects going on. I won't say the money's getting spent fast, but, you know, I think they do want to make sure that they're part of what our plans for both of our areas in terms of roads, infrastructure, and beyond. And so I think that is where you see that move happen first. I think the Chiefs, even from the nature of what they would look to build, is going to be largely similar to what they're doing now. It would either be a stadium that is in a parking lot currently or a dome that perhaps is in a parking lot. You throw some shopping around it, kind of like the Legends. I do think that one issue that starts to arise, though, is, how much of the same thing do you build in one area? And that starts to become the Legends conversation, which is that you already have, and by the way, for those who wonder, your biggest tax generator over in Wyandotte County by the soccer stadium and the Speedway is actually Nebraska Furniture Mart. It isn't, your runoff, your one-off restaurant. It isn't your one-off, this stand or that stand. It is the big furniture store that most people in the region go to and Patrick Mahomes cuts ads for. You know, how many of those can you have and can you build in one space, right? And how much money can you get from that yoke, basically, over time, I think becomes a real question in the financing. And it is why such a deal over there isn't nearly as easy as people are saying. Let me make this one point clear, if I haven't been clear to people listening. Neither state, well, how about this? Kansas is not just writing a check for $2 billion that says, hey, here you go, right? There are bonds that need to be sold on what appears to be a privately owned stadium. You'd have to go through property tax breaks and hearings in either Wyandotte County or Johnson County. You'd go through a lot of political steps. And in the way it works in Missouri, because it's a government-owned stadium, you do those steps first. There's better tax treatment for the teams. There is a surer set of monetary contributions that come. And frankly, I think you're a little more sure whether it's a downtown stadium, whether it's Arrowhead staying, or whether it's the Chiefs looking to build something new over here. So that's where I would start. But, it's an interesting chat. I just share the view that, yeah, we should be done, and we'll all continue to be Chiefs fans figuring out wherever it's going to be.
Last thing here, I imagine that you have this friend, or you certainly did growing up, like your friend tells you that they're on the way, they live 10 minutes away, but it takes them 45 minutes ultimately to get there, and you just accept that's who they are. That's how this sorts to feel, like it's starting to feel. I'm guessing you're going to tell me that you think we're close, but we're not really close to actually getting any resolution, whether it's with the Chiefs or the Royals.
You know, look, I have to think we're getting close, and I had that friend growing up. Hell, sometimes I was that friend. Because at a certain point, decisions have to be made, right? And we're going to make sure that we have all the information possible. Carrington, I have lived the range of emotions on this issue, ranging from, you know what, we've done what we're going to do, and we're just going to see what happens, to let's be more aggressive, to everything in between. I think that, you know, the reason that there is a border state battle, and by the way, the border war is back, and it's obvious on incentives, and this is clearly the sign, but, you know, the reason that both sides are on this, I think this would be such a transformative moment for downtown Kansas City, following 25 years of downtown Kansas City improving, the new arena that still is newish to a lot of us from here, the improvements, the number of people living there, that, yeah, that's why we don't stop in the conversation. And I think, in terms of the Chiefs, I think it's a difference between this exceptional home field advantage and something unique and special and being a little like everybody else. I don't think anybody wants to. So that's why I think we stay in it, but I absolutely recognize it's a chat that needs to end. And you're right, I'm not sure we're quite at the light at the end of the tunnel part yet.
That is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. That was his response to the letter that we read a couple of days ago. That was from Mark Donovan, the business manager for the Kansas City Chiefs. I wish I could tell you that we are nearing the end of this conversation, but something tells me that we are not close. We'll react on the other side, and we'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers that made all the moves earlier today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, so let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers made a handful of moves earlier today. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they traded for Jalen Ramsey. Now, Jalen Ramsey, very talented corner. I think he has a Hall of Fame argument. I'm not sure if he's a lock or anything for the Hall of Fame, but you're a four-time All-Pro. You won a Super Bowl. You certainly got a chance of being a Hall of Fame player. He has been traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers. Now, originally, you know what? I actually liked this trade. I thought the trade made a lot of sense. This is when I thought the Steelers were potentially going to be giving up like a fifth or a sixth round pick, and then they were going to eat the contract. I didn't know they were giving up Minka Fitzpatrick as a part of the deal. That changed my opinion on the trade. I thought that meant that the Pittsburgh Steelers were done, that they were done wheeling and dealing for the day. No, that was not the case. They went out and they got Jonnu Smith, the very talented tight end. Now, they did trade a mid-round pick for him. So the Dolphins and the Steelers basically make two trades today where the Steelers now get Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, and the Dolphins get Minka Fitzpatrick and a fifth-round pick. Now, let's look at this through the Steelers' eyes. I get it. You have a 41-year-old quarterback. You can't be thinking about tomorrow or the day after. You need to be thinking about the here and now. I get that. It makes sense to me. A lot of these moves feel very un-Steelers-like. This isn't the Steelers that you and I know. This is the team that has tried to build their team quickly through aging free agents. I mean, your quarterback's 41 years old. You went out and you picked up Jalen Ramsey. You went out and you made a trade. You've been doing a lot of things that are very uncharacteristic to the kind of organization that you are. I also wonder if any of these things move the needle from a wins and loss perspective. They move the needle in a conversation, absolutely. The Steelers are more interesting today than they were yesterday. I thought that Jalen Ramsey was going to the Rams. I didn't know Jonnu Smith was available. So the Steelers are certainly more interesting. Are they better contenders today than they were yesterday? Is this a team that you think has closed the gap between the three big dogs in the AFC, between Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore? I'm not so sure if that's the case. This is what I think Pittsburgh is. I think they're the perfect Thursday night football team. We've all been in this situation. It'll be like week five, week six, and the Pittsburgh Steelers will be up on Thursday night football. They're playing the Giants. You're happy to watch the Steelers then. Oh, man, I get a chance to see Russell Wilson go against his former team, and I get a chance to see Aaron Rodgers back in New York. That's a good Thursday night football game. That's not a team that I want on Sunday night football. That's not a team that I'm super excited about on Monday night football. They're just interesting fodder. I don't even think the Pittsburgh Steelers were at the top of the second tier. I would say Houston probably is that team. Maybe Denver is at the top of that tier. Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo are off playing on their own. And then there's these other teams that are looking to contend, looking to strike. And you can determine what team you kind of like in that conversation. Is Pittsburgh the best of that bunch, of that group? I'm just a little bit surprised that Pittsburgh has decided to push their chips in the middle of the table so much with over 30-year-olds. That's usually not how you win in the National Football League. That's not really the plan of winning in sports, period. You have a 40-year-old quarterback who has openly told you this is his last year. You go and pick up Darius Slay. You go pick up Jalen Ramsey. You make this move and you make that move. Have they moved up the rung in their own division? I mean, I still look at Baltimore as being a better team than them. Are they better than Cincinnati? I'm not so sure about that. I just see a lot of movements for the sake of moves, and I'm not really sure if they're building something. Well, they certainly aren't building something that's lasting. And I don't know if they're building a team that you think ultimately can challenge the top contenders in the AFC for the ability to go to the Super Bowl. This Steelers season feels like the same Steelers season that we've seen a million times. I can tell you how it's going to go. They're going to get off to a decent start. They'll be 4-2 out the gate, 5-3 out the gate, and we'll be having a very similar conversation. Hey, are the Steelers for real? The second half of the season will come along. They'll start to play games in the division. They'll start to get cold. The Steelers will, well, play like the second half version of the Steelers. We'll wake up. They'll be 9-8. They'll be 10-7. They'll grab the sixth or the seventh spot in the NFL playoffs. They'll then go on the road to Kansas City or Baltimore or Buffalo and get the doors blown off of them. And then we'll move on with our life and they'll have the 14th overall pick to show for it. This is what the Pittsburgh Steelers season usually looks like. And I'm not really sure if any of these moves change what we think the overall calculus for them is.
So first and foremost, I agree with everything you're saying. But doesn't this feel very 1990s Chiefs? Like you feel like you have the infrastructure. And the Chiefs of the 90s, we had Marty. That no one speaks poorly about Mike Tomlin. You feel like you have that guy. You feel like you have the defense. Despite all the Steelers' shortcomings last year, they still had a good defense. And if Jalen Ramsey is healthy, he is an addition. Darius Slay, he's a good addition. Like, the Steelers' defense on paper does have an intimidation to it, much like the 90s Chiefs. And they are chasing the hope that they can just get enough offense based on the quarterback that once was truly special to get over the hump. Doesn't this just feel like 1993 when the Chiefs went and added Joe Montana and Marcus Allen? Isn't that how it feels? Now, DK Metcalf, I think, is a better player at this point in his career than Marcus Allen was at that point in his career. But that's what it feels like. We have the coach. We have the defense. We got the aging quarterback, and we got him a weapon. It feels like here we come. But Chiefs fans know this. In 93-94, you were not the best team in the AFC. You were still less than the Bills with Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and Jim Kelly. You had to play a road game that postseason. I know before Mahomes, we waxed poetically, oh, they went on the road and they beat the Oilers. You know why they went on the road? The Oilers were better than you that year. So the Pittsburgh Steelers just feel very 93-94 Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe they'll win their wild card round game, and maybe they'll, you know, shock the world and in round two beat the Ravens on the road. But they are not winning three playoff games with that roster. No chance. It's 93 Chiefs.
The Steelers, to me, feel like a team that is afraid to be bad. Sometimes you got to be bad. I mean, that's kind of the formula. Now, the Chiefs are a different. They were a good playoff team. They moved up to go get a top 10 pick. They got their quarterback. Buffalo had the sixth overall pick. Cincinnati had the number one overall pick. Usually the formula is you're bad in the right year, you get the right quarterback, you use that quarterback to turn your franchise around, you go win playoff games and Super Bowls. I mean, if there was any class that you'd be happy with to just be okay with, wouldn't it be this one? We think there could be four or five first-round quarterbacks. And the Steelers, for whatever reason, are battling to be the sixth best team in the AFC and maybe win a wild card game. I get the feeling of, oh man, they're all in, they're going for it, and it makes you feel good. And yes, it makes for a more enjoyable October, a much more enjoyable November to have meaningful football games. But sometimes you got to take the medicine that doesn't taste good to feel better on the back end. Sometimes you need that 5-12 reset season to get the sixth overall pick. You then get your quarterback, you turn around, and now you got the foundation that you can build on for years and years to come. And all of the Steelers' moves to me just scream a franchise that is afraid to be bad, that they're trying really hard to just stay afloat, to be a wild card team, to no. This Pittsburgh year, I don't think they're going to be bad. I think there's enough there that they're not going to be bad. On paper, it's not a bad team on offense, and they might have a top five defense. Like they're going to be competitive this year, but I'm not doing this to finish 10-7 and lose in the first round of the postseason. And I'm not sure if any of these moves actually make them a contender and make them a team that we think can actually make serious noise once the weather really gets cold. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, back on The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Rob and I are only working today, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Rob, I don't know how Rob did this. Rob was able to finesse getting into management to then try to finesse to get us more days off. Now, I didn't ask for that. I'm going to begrudgingly stay home on Thursday. I don't want to stay home on Thursday. I'd rather be here with you guys breaking down the Royals bullpen, but I'm not going to have that opportunity. It's a company holiday, Rob. So, you know, I know that you would get in a position to figure out more ways to get out of the show, but that's not me. That's not my life. I'm here. I'm committed every day. Don't miss. I ain't missed a day, but I understand that's not how you roll. It's not how you operate, man. I get that.
I mean, you're welcome to come and do a show. Call JT, call a Nathan. I mean, I ain't going to stop you. I worked hard. I worked to become a corporate man to get you this day off. Do whatever you want with it, man.
No, that makes sense. You know, I might not even call. I might just come in here and just, I might do both. I might do my job. I might do your job. Like, I might just really try to challenge myself, you know? I really try to challenge myself. We already got Juneteenth off. Now we're just getting other just Thursdays off for the sake of having Thursdays off. No, not me. You know what? I'm going to celebrate by going to Red Lobster. That's what I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to eat a seafood boil in your honor. Is that okay? Can I have myself a seafood boil? I was on TikTok and I saw that people were bringing their own eggs because the seafood boil doesn't have an egg. So they were hard boiling their own eggs, putting it in a Ziploc bag, and they were taking eggs into Red Lobster, which I know we kind of joke and laugh about a Red Lobster. That seems extreme even for me. Taking the hard-boiled egg is crazy. Number one, hard-boiled eggs, no. Also, I'm not taking food to the restaurant. That's just not, no, that's not how it's supposed to go. That's why I don't really like those Korean barbecue places. Like, wait, I paid all this money to then have to cook my own food? No, that's not the exchange of goods and services that I want. I want something very simple. I want you to hand me a menu. I want to look at the menu. I want to look at you and say, oh, yeah, can I order X, Y, and Z? And then I want you to cook it and bring it to me. But you got to hand me the shrimp that I got to cook. It's too much. I don't have any interest in going to one of those places again.
Let me ask you this then. And this is, you know what? We got like 3 minutes left of the show. This is pertinent to ask that question. If you are anti-place where you do the cooking, what do you feel about like a nice salad bar? Like, like you know how they used to have those like super salad places? Is that also off because you're doing all the work of building your own salad? Like, is it hot food only where you're adverse to this? I'm curious where the line of demarcation is.
Rob. How many times have we gone to eat together, you think, in our lives? 10 to 12?
I've seen you eat a lot of salad.
Yeah, you've never seen me prepare the salad myself. You've never seen that before, yes. Will I eat a salad for lunch? Yes, absolutely. I love a good grilled chicken salad. Yeah, absolutely. No. You think I would grill the chicken and then throw it? No. No, thank you. I'm not interested in that. If that's what you're into, great. I'm happy they have that. No, I like when they cook the food for me. I like when they do the work. That's my favorite part about going to eat. They do the work. I sit there, I order, they come, and it's great. They clean up. I can leave. I don't have to worry about anything. That's my favorite part about it. It's very low effort on my part. I just got to do the eating. That's all I got to do. The eating and drinking part. And pay. That's it. I don't got to do anything else. That's my only responsibility when I go to one of these places. I enjoy that part very, very much. Do you like when the Royals are on the West Coast?
No. I don't. Do you? I mean, I like watching the Royals, and you know, full disclosure, you don't watch a random Royals game on, you know, June 30th when you watch a Chiefs game, but I like to have them on in the background doing stuff at home, making dinner, hanging out at the house. Like, I'm not going to at 10 o'clock tonight be like, oh man, I got to stay up because it's the fourth inning. No, I'm going to go to bed. Like, I'll check this stuff tomorrow. I do not like these West Coast trips. It's all an old man though. So
yeah, the West Coast road trips are like always like weirdly positioned. You know, it's like this week where, you know, this week, or I guess this series they're in Seattle, and then the next series they're in Arizona. It is always kind of weird. And it's the holidays coming up. They haven't really been playing well. It's, I don't know, it's just a weird time in the Royals season. You know, they call it the dog days for a reason. It does kind of feel like we've hit the dog days when it comes to the Royals. All right. I had a lot of fun today. I hope you guys had a lot of fun. I would highly encourage you to check out the podcast page. I check out our conversation with Denny Matthews. He was fantastic. The mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quinn Lucas, he was on the show. I'd also ask you to check out our interview with Andrew Filippone, who covers the Steelers. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care of yourself. Have a great evening. Catch you on Tuesday. It's The Drive.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.